ball is high, it is far, it is gone to win the game.
The Mets are on their way back.
World champions for the 27th time.
Home plate for all things Major League Baseball. This is the Nosebleeds Podcast on WFUV Sports.
Welcome into Nosebleeds, a WFUV podcast where we're talking all things MLB here in May of the 2024 season. I'm Evan Harkin, joined alongside Owen Kelty and Brendan Shorey. We've got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, we're going to do the local teams, Yanks, Mets, but we're going to get into the Red Hot Phillies as well. And before we jump into all this good stuff, I'm doing pretty well on this senior week here at Fordham. A little bit tired, a little bit banged up, but always ready to talk some baseball as we approach graduation around here. And Brendan, Owen, how's you guys' week been going so far?
I really can't complain. I mean, finally home for the summer. Little hot down here in Texas, but it hasn't gotten too bad yet. Going to the beach next week, got a lot to look forward to. And hey, it's always a good time when you're talking some baseball.
You know, I've been good. It's been a long week. Just wrapped up like my final essay I had to submit today. So that was not a fun one to do. But New York sports are doing good right now. You know, Knicks game six, hopefully win tonight. And Rangers just wrapped up their series last night going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And the Yankees are hot right now. So for a certain group of New York fans, it's been a great week.
Yeah, definitely. The Yankees have been hot. So is all of New York. And we'll stick with the hot teams in New York. We'll go right over to the Bronx Bombers right now. The Yanks are looking like the team that a lot of fans hope they would look like after acquiring Soto in the offseason. I mean, this guy's batting .302 right now with already over 50 hits and 30 RBIs on the season. He's just a run machine, a hit machine. He's on base every time you see him, and the team's been backing him up as well. I mean, their rotation's looking great without the presence of Cy Young winner Gerrit Cole, so a lot of good things. I'll kick it to you first, Owen. How about them Yanks?
I mean, this has been an incredible week for the team. I mean, they played the Twins, so always a Yankees-Twins series. You know which way that's going to go. The Yankees are, I think, 122-44 over their last, 164 games against the Twins. So they just dominate the Twins all time. But you mentioned the pitching staff in this series. I think they had 27 straight scoreless innings. And that's just – they gave up one run in the first inning of the first game, and then from then on out, it was scoreless scoreless starts from Rodon, Stroman, and Clark Schmidt. And yesterday was the longest start of Clark Schmidt's career, going 8 innings shutout. So that's what you really like to see from him. But this team's rolling right now. They have the second best record in baseball. And really, when you started the season looking at it, having no Cole, no Jason Dominguez, it was like, all right, just hang around, stay close to the Orioles until they came back. And now Gerrit Cole starting his rehab assignment soon. You're looking at the Yankees with one of the best records in baseball. As a Yankee fan, you just have to be happy about that. And with the rough start from Aaron Judge, now he's on fire. He's the last few games, I think he's had 6 extra base hits. He's just been playing out of his mind, especially with Soto struggling, going 3-for-28 in this series. So the Yankees are rolling right now, and the lineup looks really good.
Yeah, and you guys mentioned it. I mean, it's the pitching staff right here, and they look scary right now, and they're not even at full strength. I mean, once you get Gerrit Cole back, who was a Cy Young winner last year, this pitching rotation is going to be scary to face in the playoffs and any season, any series in the regular season too. And then you add on top of that, you have this offense that Soto's been on fire all year. He might have cooled down a little bit recently, but now Judge started to pick up the slack from how he started pretty poorly. And so you have this offense that is on fire week in and week out. Along with the pitching staff like that, this Yankees team is going to be scary come playoff time.
Yeah, the boys in pinstripes, you guys are absolutely right. They're buzzing right now, 8-2 in their last 10. They lead the AL East with 30 wins. And like we've been saying, they've got troops coming back. It's not only Gerrit Cole. They're expecting Jonathan Loaisiga, one of their best relievers, and Jason Dominguez, you know, the Martian and the young big name, to be out there in that outfield later on in the season. So all things looking good for the Yanks. I love what you said, Brendan, about the 1-2 punch. Judge finally putting the work in that Soto's been putting in from the season start. He was struggling a little bit. But getting back to Soto, I mean, the big name on the team right now, there's been a lot of recent buzz. Kind of started yesterday and the day before, but it's just been flooding my Twitter feed as a Yankee fan about Juan Soto and the Yankees front office decisions regarding his contract. There's been a bunch of news that Steinbrenner reportedly said that he wanted to get something done in season before the end. I think that would be a smart move for the Yankees. You know, you want to lock him up as soon as you can. This guy can go wherever he wants. He's the best, one of the best players in baseball for sure. A lot of players saying, don't let Steve Cohen show the contract in his face or anything like that. But we know with Scott Boras, how he likes to hold out and a lot of that stuff, get as much money as he can. I just wanted to get you guys' opinion on whether you think Soto should or whether he will get a contract done with the Yankees before this one's up at the end of the season.
I don't think an extension does get done. Even Scott Boras alone, the only extension he's done recently, I think, is the Jose Altuve one. But even the Yankees, if you look at them, they don't really extend anyone. Aaron Judge, they let him go to free agency. Gleyber Torres is coming into his walk year. He wasn't extended. And really, historically, in the past, the Yankees let their guys hit free agency. I think, though, with Soto, it's going to be such a different market than maybe Aaron Judge was because of the age. Soto's going to be going into free agency at 26 years old, so his market of teams that are going to be interested in him is going to be every team in the league because he's a if you're not competing to win now, you can compete with him in the next 5 years, especially if you're signing him to a 13-year deal. I think something the Yankees do have to be careful about, though, when it comes to offering him an extension is whatever you offer now at the middle of the season, that's going to be the starting point in the offseason of what when Boras comes back to you, say you offer him $500 million, there's no going below that because that's what you were willing to offer him before when he was already starting as a team or starting as a Yankee. So I don't think it gets done. I think they try to work something out. I thought it was interesting that it came out in the middle of the game yesterday that they have been talking to him or they're willing to listen and talk to him. So I think that's a good sign that negotiations are going to happen. But in the end, I don't think anything's really going to get done. But going back to like all this free agents this offseason that Scott Boras had too, none of those guys got the contracts they wanted. So maybe Soto is kind of in his ear saying, just get something done. Don't even push it to the free agency market because none of Scott Boras' guys got the contracts they wanted. Cody Bellinger wanted, I think, 10 years. He got 3. And Pete Alonso's in a similar situation. He declined a huge contract extension. I think it was around the trade deadline last year. And now it's looking like he's not going to get anywhere near that money. So maybe Soto's trying to avoid what every other Scott Boras client has and just get his money now and stay comfortable where he's at.
Yeah, I mean, do I think a deal will get done? No. If you're the Yankees organization, do you want one to get done? Yes. Because Soto's having an MVP type of season. And if he's at the end of the season, he's going to be even more expensive. Plus, you have other teams vying for him. If you're the Yankees organization, your goal is to get this done. If you're Juan Soto, there's a good chance that you want to hold out and see what other teams have to offer. I mean, you could, even if you don't want to, even if you want to stay in New York, you could leverage those other offers against the Yankees and kind of up the pay, up the salary, and get an even better contract for yourself. And so I think what's going to get done? No. And I think eventually that's going to end up what's happening is that the Yankees are going to pay a little more than they could right now.
Yeah, I'm 100% with both of you guys. I mean, I see no benefit to Juan Soto and him signing a contract now. You're just going to keep on going with your probable MVP season. You're just going to keep making the Yankees look better. You're going to keep making it look like the right decision, and that's just going to run up the payroll. I mean, the only bright spot that could bring is giving the Yankees some comfort in a season where they're already looking so good. But I think especially with Scott Boras as your agent and in a world that's so focused on monies right now, especially in the sports business, it just makes total sense to hold out a little bit till the end of the season. I love what you were saying about the age thing too, Owen. I mean, what team in the world wouldn't want Juan Soto on them at 26 years old? It just doesn't make any sense. But kind of going over to the other side of town, we're going to make a little pit stop at Grand Central here, hop on the 7 train. And the Mets are in a little bit of a different spot right now than the Yankees. I mean, they're not in panic mode. They're not too bad. They're not too good. They sit fourth right now in their division. That's the NL East, a pretty good division, but fourth place is fourth place. They're at 20 wins, 23 losses. And like I said, it's not time to push the red button, but being at a lot of Mets games myself as a Mets beat reporter, being in the locker room and the press conferences, there's just a vibe in there that the team's kind of going through the motions right now, that their ceiling might be what it is, what they are right now, which is average. I mean, they have players they're expecting back. Kodai Senga, that's no small feat or anything. Francisco Alvarez, who I think they desperately need back and can change that lineup completely. But for the Mets right now, it just seems like they're in a little bit of a standstill. What are you thinking about them, Brendan?
Honestly, I feel like this is kind of what everyone expected before the season. Was something similar to this, where maybe they'd vie for one of those wild card spots, but they wouldn't do anything. They wouldn't make any noise in the division. And I think a lot of fans were excited about the hot start to the season. And I think that the Mets have finally cooled down, and the team has started playing to kind of where it should. And so I think this Mets team is in a good spot right now. I mean, this was the goal for this season. You were not expecting to compete this season. You're expecting to compete in the next season or two. And so I think if you're a Mets fan, then you're okay with where you are right now. I mean, you are still keeping it competitive, to an extent. I mean, you're sitting around 500, so it's not like you're absolutely tanking and have one of the worst records in baseball, but you're not competing. So I think this is a solid point, a solid place for the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the Mets right now, they're sitting around 500, 20 and 23. I think that's what you were expecting going into the year. They weren't going to be competing for that division. If anything, they were going to maybe compete for one of those last wild card spots. But when you look at their division, Philly or Atlanta is going to have one of those roster spots anyway. So there's going to be a struggle for them, or those wild card spots. So it's already going to be a struggle for them to pick up a playoff position. But going into the season, I think you were just looking at a lot of the young players hopefully developing into something that you can have long term and just seeing what kind of pieces you had for the future. So for the Mets, I don't know how frustrated you can be knowing that this team really didn't have any expectations going into the season. I think something that you could be frustrated about is Edwin Diaz has really struggled this year. Not really struggled, but coming back off that injury, he has not been the same pitcher that he was the year before. So I think those are some question marks, especially after giving him that huge contract in a sport that's kind of going away from giving relievers huge contracts. The Mets gave Edwin Diaz that massive deal, and now he misses the first season, and his second season hasn't been so great. And they have a lot of question marks to answer, whether or not they want to extend Pete Alonso, whether or not they want to trade a couple of these young guys and go towards what they were doing last year with acquiring known players that you thought were good. And then obviously Scherzer and Verlander didn't work out, but a lot of questions for the Mets to answer whether or not they want to blow it up or just try to stay around 500, maybe push for one of those last wild card spots. But I don't think you could be that disappointed with how this season has started if you're a Mets fan.
Yeah, I think it has to be expected, but I don't know. I feel like there might be a little bit of disappointment. I mean, I know it's kind of similar to where the Nets are and kind of in perspective of the NBA. You know, you're kind of just in the middle. You don't really have the facilities to make that huge move yet to really try to push yourself up into the big name, the big talks, but you're not that bad, whereas you can't really have your fans complaining about you being the Athletics or some team of that sort. It's just for the Mets, their offense just seems so stagnant all the time. I mean, there's so many one-run, two-run games. Their only strong suit really is their bullpen, which has been very good aside from Edwin Diaz, who hasn't been terrible. But like you said, Owen, just wasn't the player that for the contract that they gave him. So you really don't want to see that. Such a freak injury, in my opinion. I mean, how many times does a guy jump up and down in a dugout and tear his ACL in baseball? It's so crazy. It's just such
Especially
a
during the World Baseball Classic too, it's like
not even in an
so
MLB
random.
game. So sad, honestly. But I don't know. I feel like one move the Mets kind of should make, in my opinion. I know Starling Marte is a big name. He was a really big piece for them kind of back in 2022 when they had that big season. He's not the only guy. There's some other guys from that season that have been lacking. But from what I've seen from Marte, I think maybe they need to give some other guys more shots in the outfield. Tyrone Taylor with a way better batting average. I mean, not as big as a name, not as much pop for sure, but I mean, there's been plenty at bats where Starling Marte is up there in the two hole in a very crucial spot, and he's just waving at pitches back and forth. He leads the team in strikeouts. I've seen so many lackadaisical plays out there in the outfield. I just feel like he's one of those players. You know, there's been some on the team besides him that kind of just look uncompetitive at the plate, but he looks uncompetitive to just, it looks really bad when you're watching Starling Marte out there. Not really a lack of effort, but kind of just like a lack of poise, and really just it's kind of Jock Donaldson, not Jock Donaldson, it's kind of Josh Donaldson a little bit, like with the Yankees. You know, just a little, what are you really doing up here at this point? But you guys were mentioning what the Mets could do, like what they could do with the GM spot at the deadline, some potential moves they could make. I wanted to know if you guys have any strong opinions on something the Mets can do to really either better their future or better their team around the deadline.
I mean, I don't know how the team feels long term about Pete Alonso, but if you can't get a contract extension done and he's not going to move off wanting to become one of the highest paid first basemen in baseball, I think you have to look to trade him. But then if you do trade Pete Alonso, you're looking at a full rebuild, and the whole idea of them competing next year and going at a ton of money, it was always just kind of a lie. But I think you have to look at trading Pete Alonso. I know he's like the face of the team, more even more than Lindor, but that's a handing out a huge contract like that to a first baseman. I mean, Freddie Freeman and Anthony Rizzo, I think, were the last two first basemen to get massive contracts. Obviously, Matt Olson, because he's a Brave, for some reason, signs like a Kmart sign like type deal where he's getting $50 million over 10 years. But if Pete Alonso is going to be asking for a ton of money, I think you have to look to trade him. But not a lot besides Francisco Alvarez, these young guys really haven't been what they were supposed to be. So I don't know how you can really look forward to being a full rebuild. So I think at the deadline they have to make the decision for what they want to do in the offseason, whether or not you're going all in on if they go all in on Soto or other big free agents. And that means you have to go all in on signing Pete Alonso. But they have to stop. Like this season, I feel like they're so in between of whether or not they want to blow it up or they want to compete in the future. And I think at this deadline they have to make that decision. They can't wait for the offseason.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I think a good move they could make at the deadline. JD Martinez having a great season. He's getting up there in age. I'm sure a lot of teams that are competing would love to be able to stick him into that DH spot and have him hit that well. I mean, he's hitting up almost 300. He's hitting 292 on the season. Not really what you kind of expected from him when you brought him in. You'd expect maybe a 260, 270 hitter who's consistent. And he's done better and he's outperformed that. And so I think he could get some good value. Maybe you could get a prospect or two out of that and someone who could be ready in the next couple of years to make it up to the majors. And I mean, if you're not competing, then why really have a player who's getting up there in age? He's playing well. I mean, this is the perfect time to get rid of him. And I think this is a good move the Mets could make.
Yeah, I totally agree, especially with the Pete Alonso talk. I mean, I do love Pete Alonso as a guy, as a player. I understand he's the core of this team is kind of Jeff McNeil, Francisco Lindor, and Pete Alonso. But I don't know. I feel like Pete can't really lead a team offensively. He's more of just a power guy. I mean, right now, 10 home runs, 226. There were years, maybe 2021, 2022, where I tell you Pete Alonso can absolutely be the number one bat on your team. But I mean, right now, 226 with 10 home runs, that's very Giancarlo Stanton. That's very Kyle Schwarber. These
A
guys aren't the lead
huge
hitter on
contract,
their teams.
like a
Yeah,
Freddie
they're out
Freeman
here.
type contract. Freddie Freeman is a great all-around hitter. You can't be giving the
Exactly.
same money to a guy that's all power.
Yeah, and that's just kind of what this Mets lineup has. I mean, Starling Marte, Pete Alonso, you have a lot of guys like that. And then other guys like Jeff McNeil, who really just haven't showed you any bit of what they used to be when they were given that big contract. Batting under 230 right now is McNeil. They literally move him up and down the lineup every single day just to try to find a spot. It's almost like he's becoming a little bit of a liability out there. I mean, Brandon Nimmo, another guy you could call a core player on this team. He's been playing pretty well. He's definitely should stick with this Mets throughout this whole little rebuild kind of move forward thing that I think. But I totally agree that Alonso and JD Martinez could definitely be up there for possibilities to make this team better in the future because right now it's just really not going too far anywhere.
Especially when you look
But
at through the division that they're in, like there's so much like competition in that division. The Braves aren't going anywhere, and like we're going to talk about the Phillies. The Phillies are on fire right now. And it's like if you're not going to be able to compete within, like realistically, can the Mets build a team that can compete with the Braves within like the next 3 years in that division? You're looking at wild card runs. I mean, it's the same thing when you look at the Yankees, not the Yankees, but other teams in the AL East. It's the Orioles. Like the Orioles have all these young guys on these cheap contracts. So it's kind of how much you really want to put into your team when you know you're going to be a wild card team every year.
I mean, that's not to say wild card teams can't make runs, though. I mean, the Phillies are a great example of that. I mean, the Braves are consistently winning that division, but the Phillies are going deeper in the playoffs. I mean, as long as because once you get to the playoffs, it's a whole new game, it's a whole different game. And so, I think if you can build a team that in the next couple of years, next few years, can make it to the playoffs consistently, anything could happen then.
Yeah, I agree. It's totally a different story once you're in the playoffs, but I also see what you're saying for sure, Owen. I mean, if you're not really going to be trying to do it, what are you really doing? You know, you're just competing to sneak out a wild card game here and there. That's definitely a risky strategy for sure, but can be done. And with all this risky wild card talk, that should bring us right into the red hot Phillies. I mean, I'm scared as a non-Phillies fan because we see this team always get so red hot around October, around September, August, and they're usually bad at this part of the season. And everyone's like, oh, it's just the Phillies. Don't worry about them. But maybe their run's over a little bit. And then real baseball kicks up after the All-Star break. We all know that. And they start to show that they're a top five team in baseball. But they're doing that right now. And kind of like the Yankees, they're doing that without Trey Turner, an All-Star shortstop. They're doing that without guys in the bullpen, guys in the rotation. Right now, they lead baseball with 31 wins. And I just want to give that starting rotation a little bit of a shout out. I mean, it is stacked. Zach Wheeler, Aaron Nola, Ranger Suarez, Christopher Sanchez, and Taijuan Walker have been absolutely dealing. I believe they have the best ERA. They did overall in baseball a couple of days ago. I know it was close, maybe move up and down, but I wanted to give Suarez some credit for sure. I mean, the Ranger Suarez is 8-0 right now with a 1.3 ERA that leads the MLB. 8-0 leads the MLB, and he has the lowest whip in the MLB. And he's just absolutely showing you what this entire Phillies rotation has been doing. Alongside from Bryce Harper, their best hitter, not really playing too well. So I just want to get you guys' take on how good this Phillies team
is. Rotation itself, you got Ranger Suarez wasn't even supposed to be the number one option. Or maybe he was slotted in for the number three guy in that pitching rotation. And he's coming out here and having one of the best seasons in the league. And you still got Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler, who are absolutely dealing right now. And then you look at how they're doing. You mentioned Trey Turner being out. He was hitting 343 before he even got hurt. And so he was a huge part of this team's offensive success. Then you lose him, and they keep being successful. And then when you plug him back in later, once he's back, which is still kind of up in the air, but shouldn't be too long. But once you plug him back in, this team is scary. And that's not even to mention they're a playoff team. We've seen them at least in the last 5-10 years. They do well enough to get into the playoffs. And then once they're in the playoffs, they are the team to beat. And so if they're doing this right now, I'm worried for how good they're going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you guys both brought it up. They usually stink this time of year, and they're always looking at the trade deadline. It's like, are the Phillies going to blow it up? And then they win 15 of 20, and they're back in the division race come end of August, September. But their lineup, they lost Rhys Hoskins in the offseason, and their lineup didn't even take a hit. I mean, they moved Bryce Harper to first base, but their offense is strictly, they play no defense, just vibes out there and just hope to out-hit you. Nick Castellanos, Kyle Schwarber, even like Bryce Harper now is a first baseman who's not a first baseman by trade. This team is so well-built offensively that they're just an absolute wagon out there right now. And I think it is kind of shocking looking at their rotation, especially like a lot of their bullpen guys aren't these big names. I mean, Gregory Soto used to be a bigger name, but a lot of their rotation guys, Aaron Nolan, Zach Wheeler, always looked at as two aces in their rotation. But Ranger Suarez, Taijuan Walker, not huge names that are now coming out and contributing. And I feel like that's always the story of the Phillies, is a lot of guys that just come out of nowhere, and then next thing you know, they're on a run and they're the best team in October. But them being this good early in the season, it'll be interesting to see if they can keep it up. I know Ranger Suarez is doing good now, but I mean, maybe he's just that good of a pitcher now. I'm not super familiar with his career stats, but we'll see how they can maintain this all year and see if they can keep off the Braves.
Yeah, hopefully for everyone that's not a Phillies fan, it's a reverse season for them, and they'll end up doing what they usually do now after the All-Star break. But right now, looking really scary. And before we kind of wrap this thing up, I want to give mine out too, but I want to get you guys a little bit of a power ranking right here. It doesn't have to be in order or anything, but I kind of want to hear who you guys think are the top five teams in baseball right now.
Ooh, I'm going to go Phillies number one right now. Yankees two. Orioles. Cleveland, and then the Dodgers. Cleveland's underrated right now. 27 wins.
I was going to say, Cleveland's a big play right there.
they're a sneaky team right now. I'm not going to lie. So I'm going to go – I'm going to take Phillies 1. I'm going to take Yanks 2. I'm going to put Cleveland 3. Dodgers 4, and I'm not even gonna have the Orioles there. I'm gonna go Mariners 5.
Wow, Mariners over Orioles?
The Mariners are looking good right now. Their pitching rotation
Their
is scaring
rotation
me a
is
little
really
bit.
good. Their offense just stinks.
Yes. And I'm sure that'll fix at by the end of the season, but their pitching rotation is just insanely scary.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm with you guys on the other teams. I'm not too sold on Cleveland right now. I think they're in a bad division a little bit. I think they're gonna cool off. I do like them a little bit more than some other people. I mean, they have an identity. They're a very old school and contact hit team. They run well,
Definitely are a
all
bad
that.
division merchant.
They
Like,
are.
who are
They
those twins?
I mean, they
That's
are.
Tigers are
So I think I'm gonna give a
definitely
little
bad.
bit more love, I think, to the Braves here. I don't know if you guys mentioned the Braves. I still think they obviously have got so many guys that have won championships and all that. But for my rankings, I'm gonna go definitely Phillies 1, Yankees 2. I feel like those are locks. I think I'd have to go Dodgers 3 right now, just out of that firepower. I mean, just the one of the most talented lineups in baseball. Orioles 4 and Braves 5. I'm not too sold on the Mariners and the Guardians out here. It's just not yet, not yet.
Yeah, and I don't know about the Mariners. I mean, their rotation is really good with George Kirby leading it. But I don't know. I feel like the Guardians, the Yankees played them a couple weeks ago. Their lineup is they're like the more annoying version of the Rays to me. Like playing the as a Yankee fan, playing the Rays like 12 times, like they're the same way, very contact-based team. They don't want to hit for power at all. And that's like the most frustrating team to go against. Like as a fan, you could take losing the home runs. But when a team puts together like 13 hits against you, that just like drives you insane. That's what the Guardians do, and I think that's why I have them high on my list, just because they annoy me the most.
The manufactured runs are always the worst ones to watch.
Well, we'd love to sit here and chat Major League Baseball all afternoon, but that's going to do it from us here on this episode of Nosebleeds. I'm Evan Harkin alongside Owen Kelty and Brendan Shorey saying so long, and this has been a production of WFUV Sports.